in.
Hey, I missed that music last week. I just realized I went through a whole Wednesday without that earworm.
And so now, what's the feedback then? Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think last Wednesday was probably the worst Wednesday I've had in a long time, easily.
Everybody needs to wake up Wednesday morning to a little bit of idiotic theme music.
Well, it trumpets anyway. The rest of the show, who knows?
How's everybody doing today in the chat? It's good to see everybody. Thanks for
hello
hanging.
And good morning, gang. Lots of fun. Lots of fun that we hope to have today. Good morning, Anna.
It is a Wednesday. We've got a great Wednesday today, don't we, Chris? We're going to be talking about some fun stuff.
Yeah, this should be cool. Should be, you know. That's the theory, right? We're cool. Everything should be cool.
Everything you do is cool. What are you talking about?
Not everything. Sometimes it's just dad jokes, and that's not cool. Maybe.
Oh, everybody loves a good dad joke. Do you have one for us this morning?
No, I don't, actually. Dad jokes are not a thing that you can just spontaneously. They're reactionary, right? Like something else happens, and you add a dad joke into the moment.
Yeah, I can't pull up a good one just spontaneously either. So
that's right. Dad jokes are a catalytic reaction. There's something that happens in the environment, and the dad joke emerges out of that. It's not something that can happen on its own or in a vacuum. It requires that chemical reaction to go. So that said, maybe we can get some chemical reactions going, and I can dad joke some things today. So.
Absolutely, yeah, and I don't, video doesn't happen spontaneously. We actually have to make it, right?
Exactly. We go into the video laboratory, cook things up. So we do have a joke tossed in, or at least the starting of a joke. What's pink and kind of fluffy? All right. Answer: a pink fluff. Okay. That's kind of like the joke from public school. What's brown and sticky? A stick.
Oh, man, where's my drum roll or my rim shot?
The snare. Why did the banana go to the doctors? He wasn't peeling very well.
Yeah, you guys are awesome, man. Oh, man, those are dad jokes.
Why did the coffee file a police report? It got mugged.
I was just going to say, that is the most appropriate joke today. Thank you. You get the award for the best dad joke this morning.
Yeah, Azu, that's the most appropriate, thematically appropriate joke. For us to start today.
With that, I think we just started a new segment for the idiotic show.
Yeah. One last one. Craig's throwing in two drums and a cymbal fell off the ledge. It was the punchline, Craig.
I think that was the oral version of ba-dum-tsh.
Right, and that's exactly what he just typed in. Ba-dum-dum. Bam! As Craig just tossed in. All right. Drop the mic. No, we don't want to drop the mic. That increases feedback. That's poor recording quality, and then the mic is on the floor and all you hear are my footsteps. That's not we're not gonna drop the mic. No.
We are going to talk about interactive video today, though, folks. Yeah. So hold tight. We're going to talk about how you guys can do this. We're going to show some cool examples and all that kind of fun stuff. So you've got a lot of those queued up, don't you? How do you want to roll with this?
Well, maybe a bit of introduction. We had a session at the DevLearn conference last week that our colleague Dr. Paul Schneider delivered on interactive video and examples for e-learning and thinking about ways to use it and that sort of thing. And so we thought we'd bring some of those samples that he was sharing last week at DevLearn here today. some really, I don't know, lots of really fun things to do and to look at. So, yeah. So maybe what we'll do, we've got three samples queued up. We're going to walk through them a little bit, talk a little bit about things that we see that are cool in them. Maybe that'll give you some ideas too, and look at that sort of stuff. So, sorry, I'm literally stalling time because I'm trying to remember what the heck I do to actually share my screen.
Put your mouse over your video.
And then right. Yeah. They hide it there. They hide it there.
They do.
And... all right, so now we see ourselves in this infinite loop of sassafras. There we go.
There you go. Side.
Do you know what? Actually, let's just do this. Let's bring these out. Sorry, gang. I didn't realize or didn't recall that there'd be all this framing around things. So let's just simplify that. So the conversations and all that stuff don't get kind of weird like an old Kellogg's box with us, with inside of us, with inside of us, etc. So, all right.
Can you go full screen on that browser window?
Well, we can certainly make it bigger, but the challenge is video itself is only going to be so big in this particular example.
Oh, yeah, so. But if you click the little green dot in the upper left of the Chrome browser window and just make it go full screen. There we go.
That's a little better. We're happier with that. Okay. Again, the video itself stays fairly small on this one. Yeah. It's in a modal window on this page.
It's very pretty, all blue.
Yeah, actually, that is kind of a nice subtlety. Most modal windows are black, etc. Or that, you know, various tones of gray, that kind of a thing. So the blue is kind of woohoo, kind of crazy. They're living large, aren't they? So I wanted to start with this video because it's got some things in it that I think we could learn a lesson from, and particularly some things that kind of I don't feel are very supportive in what they're doing with this interactive video. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to unplug my headphones so that, and then when I play it, you can hear the audio, and we'll try to make sure that it's not too horrible, but let us know in the chat if the audio gets too loud or something. But so I'm going to unplug that so we can then listen to the audio. And now I shall press the play button.
Your CMO just handed you a global campaign with a short deadline and the request to lead with video. You're given a team of you and, well, you.
So I don't know how the audio sounded there, but a little story about a person being handed an assignment and having to solve this problem. So we're kind of, you know, we're absorbed into this story. Actually, another thing, well, I'll talk about that in a second. We're really involved in this story, and then they pop up something over here. Take a second and tell us, how important is video in your marketing mix? And it's a survey, and I get that we're, you know, they're trying to market to us that this is a marketing video, etc. But if we're trying to pay attention to the story, then this over here is it's not connected. It's happening while the video is running, so it's popping up. So we're having to actually choose what we're paying attention to. I often joke we have two eyes, but they've got to point in the same direction. So it's I think of it as an example of something that, sure, technically you can do it, but probably shouldn't, at least from a learning context. We don't want to split our brains up that way. So. Another thing that I find troubling is that every time I roll over the video, and it's happened a couple of times here, it starts again. So the intentionality of pressing play is taken away from me. And if all I was trying to do was move my mouse over here to even answer the survey,
videos that
it starts playing again.
Awareness.
So spazzy mousing causes the thing to feel like you're being jerked around a little bit. So
it doesn't let you, so the mouse triggers... I forgot about that.
There we go.
I guess so the mouse triggers the play and the pause, not the click. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So if I have it paused and all I have to do is roll over and it starts playing again, as opposed to actually coming and clicking the play button when I'm ready. So, which, you know, they're giving me info on the right side, but they're taking away my ability to control the left side so I can pay attention to the right side. So some things that I find kind of frustrating about it. I will put this in, probably should have done this even off at the start. I'm going to throw this into the chat where you can get to it.
And I think from a neuroscience or instructional designer perspective, I think what you're talking about with their marketing survey coming up on the right would be considered part of cognitive load or visual distraction or something like that, that doesn't allow us to just focus in that one spot, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's two things. They're both happening simultaneously. So you're getting this info on that something's coming up on the right, which is pulling your attention away from the actual story or the scenario or what have you. And so that just that action, whereas I think for our learning purposes, we probably want to pause if we want people to change their attention. So there's that. Pause the video, ask people the question, I would think. And then secondly, the information on the right wasn't actually about the story other than very, loosely connected. So it literally was a question of like, how important is video in your marketing? While you're watching a video that's a story about someone. So there's a disconnect even in what they're asking you to do on the right side from, from the subject or the actual storyline on the left side. So, yeah, Ed has noted in the chat, it'll cause navigation issues for some people. I mean, I've seen this example several times, and every time I load it up and look at it again, the whole rollover to start the thing again always catches me off guard. I mean, it even caught me off guard this morning, and I knew about it and I wanted to talk about it. So,
Yeah, I wonder. So what? Let's go to the chat and just ask, how would you guys solve that? Or what have you seen differently that you might do to maybe somebody in marketing is telling you, you absolutely have to have that survey display somewhere in the video. How would you do it differently?
We should play some TikTok music or something while we wait.
Thinking that. Dun, dun.
Anyway, I won't rip off a certain game show theme that just popped into my head.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think I had the Jeopardy theme song at one point, but...
Yeah, that popped into my brain too, but then I thought, heaven forbid we get taken down for copyright. Yeah. Yeah. So Ed's suggesting embedding the stuff right in the video. So and Carlita, I think, is suggesting the same. Can we move the survey to where the text is? Yeah. So I mean, they are providing text right here on the screen. Why split people's frame of view up into two different places? So there's I would say get it over the video, and then I think a second thing would probably be. Don't ask people to try to do two things, which is watch the story and read, a question, et cetera, as well. What strikes me, and I don't know, complete a portion of the video, Carlita's suggesting, and then throw the survey in. So, keeping people within, not asking them to split their thinking up into two different places, et cetera. And what strikes me about this is that this is a marketing video. So it'd be interesting to know if, their own, the marketing, metrics of, did people move on to want to buy something or whatever, it'd be interesting to know if they A/B'd this with another version and found out which one might actually draw people in, better, et cetera. So,
and maybe they do have data that shows that this actually works and it's okay. Who knows?
We could be completely wrong, but there are pieces of this that definitely seem to go against the stuff that we seem to know about the way that the brain works in terms of learning. So maybe it's totally fine in a marketing context, but if the goal is to have people actually learning and processing, then like you said, we want to reduce cognitive load. So
maybe it could also be, because I'm guessing that text that says create awareness is probably edited into the video, whereas the text on the side is actually part of the interactive overlay or part of the HTML5, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I can't grab the text, so it seems to be in the video, I would say. Yeah, Quetzalcoatl is throwing in. They could be limited to their tech available. Sometimes we've got to compromise based on what's available to get the job done. Yeah, and that's totally true. Sometimes you can't achieve technically what you're looking to do, and that's probably true for us in a lot of learning and development teams where we're one person and low budget and we're working with, you know, limitations and those sorts of things. I guess what I'm thinking though is that this is Bright Cove. It's one of the major streaming video services. So I don't think they're limited in the same way that a one person authoring or a training team is going to be limited. So
I wonder how it works on mobile. With that mouse over being the trigger, I wonder if that trigger just changes when you're on a mobile device or if this video displays.
Well, it does have the play and pause, you know, so I can still do that. But what catches me is that just by rolling over the video basically tells it to play again, as opposed to the intentionality of the play button.
Yeah.
So, I just noticed that there's an official question in the question section.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, I seem to have lost the frame. I'm sorry, guys. It's Chris is being spazzy. Let me see what that actual question is. So, is there a link to the video? Yeah, we threw the link in to the chat a couple of minutes ago. So if I missed that earlier, my apologies. Well, I did miss it earlier. You know, and they give you some more things. How advanced is your current marketing video strategy? So this is all, you know, they're trying to bucketize you and put you into then a, you know, hopefully some sort of a workflow for the marketing aspect of what they're trying to do. But again, it's not really about the thing that's over here in the main video. So, all right, Chris, you've complained about that one long enough. Let's get on to some things that are really, really very cool. And so I'm going to move this one up into the same frame up here. So here's a sample from, and I'm going to reload us. Actually, let's go here. So this is a, and once the URL has completely loaded up, I'll throw the link in. So this is a combination of the Guardian website, the Guardian newspaper, its digital services, and Canada's National Film Board. And it is, I just want to get back to the homepage. It's taking its time to reload. I think we're trying to do too many things digitally here today.
Yeah, I've noticed that when I'm streaming that web pages load much, much more slowly during TLDcast or idiotic than when I'm doing just work. So it's
So hopefully folks will work through this with us. But it's the seven digital deadly sins. And so each of those has a card here, and you can see, I mean, there's some budget here.
That's very cool.
you want to talk about working with what you can. These folks, you know, there's some really nice stuff going. So there are seven areas: envy, pride, wrath, lust, gluttony, sloth, and greed that you can go into. So let's go to gluttony. In part because this is Billy Bragg, the English folk singer who is a favorite of mine. So we've got a bunch of different things now that we can pick. And it's not just interactive video in the sense of like a video. It's got well, if we go to this one here, look at these transitions, huh? So some of them are articles, you know, so it is some still some text and imagery. So, you know, bringing that newspaper aspect, I guess, of the equation back in. And we'll let it zip back out. But there are videos in here. And I'll just unplug my headphones.
around on the internet. Well, the internet has changed my songwriting by taking up all the time I used to spend writing songs. Back then, that's what was my main day, you know, was being a songwriter. Now, the guitar sits over in the corner and I kind of pick it up when I do have those moments where, you know, there's nothing much interesting on. I tend to go to...
So we'll pause that. So it's got video with various people talking about somewhat, sometimes tongue-in-cheek, like there. And then there's some other things in here where it asks you what you want to do. So I should have backed this up. A lot of the questions here are about behaviors, whether you believe that, you know, someone it says, I can't press delete. Do you absolve them of this behavior or do you condemn someone of this behavior? So let's absolve them of this behavior. And now they're asking you, I do this or I don't do this. And I'm going to say, I don't do this. And what I really liked about these things is that it's not just a multiple choice and or something. They're actually giving you data so you can picture yourself as part of a group of people. So 59% of people said they would absolve someone of that. And of those that absolved, 60% also said that they do this. So they're giving you analytics so you can understand both your reaction to a situation plus your own behavior and contextualize this. And maybe this leads you to understanding the situation better and then can actually lead to behavior change on your part if that's something that you chose to do. So it's not just a multiple choice question and then, or even a branching where we're going to pick A or B and that's going to take us to a different video. These questions are really about, you know, sort of revealing things about ourselves. So that really moves it into the realm of, you know, looking at examining your own behaviors, your own understanding of yourself, et cetera, and perhaps leading to behavior change. So this one, I you know, you could spend a long time in it.
So feature wise though, is this modal window that pops up, is that actually a video with this interactivity in overlaid onto a video or is this just a modal window with interactivity?
This is just a modal window with the interactive questions and you're passing through various, you know, the different levels of asking, answering the first question and then the second question, and then they show you the feedback. So I would describe this not necessarily as exclusively interactive video. This is more of a multimedia project. But I think it also gives us maybe some ideas to think about that we can use video as part of something. It doesn't have to be an absolute branching video, you know, long video shoot, mixing media like the articles and some videos for personal, you know, reflection and experience. And then the level of, you know, feedback that the questions have too integrates it all very nicely, I find. So let's throw that, let's ask the chat gang, you know, what are your thoughts on that one? It is very high end. The you know, the visuals, the transitions, and all of that, very custom made. So, Quetzalcoatl has a question: are there e-learning tools available that provide a similar capability on showing how others respond to questions? I would think you could do it. I'm totally spontaneously coming up with this idea, but it's something that you could either pull from a survey tool. Or you could even be sending XAPI data to an LRS and bringing that back.
I think XAPI could totally handle that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could, you know, you could be sending people's responses over to as XAPI data to an LRS and then calling the results back in to show people, you know, that in the graphing kind of format that they've got. Ed's asking, like, the survey stuff, I wonder how long the stats are kept. That I don't know. I mean, there's enough data that when we were looking at that, you know, it was 59%, for example, and not not just rounded zeros. So it's, you know, it seems like they're gathering enough sample or keeping stuff around long enough. So I think this came out in 2017. I think that's, I've got that in my memory anyway. So, yeah. Any other thoughts, gang, in the, they want to throw into the chat for that? And I should mention, I am hearing this background music. And I'm hearing that in my headphones right now. So if you see me grooving a little, that's what's going on for me.
The background music of the website?
Yeah, of the website. It has a looping soundtrack. Yeah, I've got the headphones back plugged in, so no one else is hearing that. So the values to me on this one is that it's the mixture of things. I like the, it's not linear as well. You can explore different ones and then the mixture of video and article type stuff and information. I think it makes for a fairly overall a neat mixture of things overall and a lot of variety. All right. I am going to one more.
All right.
Let's put that one in there. And I will get that rid of that. Let's throw this one in to the chat. There's the URL for this one. And unfortunately, this one anchors only up in the left. So I don't really have an ability to alter that, unlike the other ones going full screen, etc. So let's reload and let you hear it. So this is...
So I always used to get anxiety. Then I would get anxiety about getting anxiety. It was anxiety all the way down. Hi, I'm Nikki Case, and this is an interactive explanation about neurons. Yep, you can actually interact with this, so why don't you try that thing and click on the neuron and see what happens. Yeah, watch how the signals propagate down from neuron to neuron to neuron. Kind of.
I'm going to pause it there because what he's done is right away by encouraging you to interact with the thing, it's immediately become part of the explanation, right? You click on a neuron and then he explains what's happening. So not really a choice thing, but sucking you in order to help you, in a sense, kind of move the information, you know, forward. So
I wonder, like, as I'm watching all of these, of course, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, ooh, how did they do that? How did they create that? How did they make that happen? Do you think they put hot spots over every single one of those neurons on the screen? There are a lot of neurons on there.
In playing around with it, what I've experienced is, and there's a couple of other places where we do this interaction with neurons for other purposes, and it seems like every one of them can be clicked on. So I don't know what they've done it in. Never did think to actually explore that so much. It's just, let's put that aside for homework. So I'm going to run it. So another thing too that I hope was maybe picked up on is the narration. And this is, you know, first person. It's a person telling you a story about their own anxieties and what, you know, and they are also an expert in this, or at least are serving as the role of our expertise. But the tone of the narration is pretty warm and friendly. And so that, I think, sort of eases this, not that this is a super serious, it's not life or death, you know, that kind of level of stuff, but it eases maybe the potential dryness of the topic, etc. So let's kind of roll through some more of it here. So yeah, I can click some more and I'm firing off little connecting dots.
Hebbian learning? Hebbian learning?
heavy in learning. Yeah. Actually, I probably should have just been running that with the audio. I didn't think to do that. I was going to see what I could comment on as we went, so I wasn't driving people nuts with the with the audio.
Yeah. Sorry for the grammatical ignorance.
Well, no. Let's actually. I'll press the play again, and I'll take the audio.
Fire another. The first neuron will connect to the second neuron. Try it out for yourself. Too slow. You didn't click fast enough. Try again. And that's how we learn. Of course, we don't learn that quickly in real life. I sped this simulation up. Yeah, but still. Now play around and make a few more connections. Maybe make a chain or something.
So these are all...
This learning rule is why, if you were bitten by a dog
selectable.
As a kid, you might develop a fear of dogs. Because your dog neuron...
Did any of those floating neurons in a line would have animated towards it and connected them? Is that how that's going? Is that how I read it?
Sorry, say that again, Brian. I'll just plug back the headphones so we're not getting the echo.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's cool. All good,
eh? I'm just trying to think in my head. So you could have clicked on any of those neurons and a line would have been animated from the first one that you clicked on to the second one. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was clicking, it sort of put a circle and yeah. I was supposed to then target one within that circle. I think I couldn't have targeted one.
Okay.
Outside of the kind of radar circle that it then and he even scolded me because I was too slow on the first one. So
this is all video, huh? This is a video file. This is not like a flash file or anything like that. This is an interactive video file.
Well, it's definitely not a flash file because I don't have Flash installed in Chrome.
I'm sorry, I should not even have mentioned name that shall not be named.
But it's going to be a mixture. I mean, the animations and then, you know, probably, I guess, some HTML and stuff. So,
well, it seems like it has to be because it's got the play bar down at the bottom. So it's got to be like the core technology or the core file itself. The element has got to be a video file or else it wouldn't display like this in the browser. It's so intricate. In how they did it. It's very cool.
Yeah, and we put the link in, and if folks want to explore it, you know, some of the things for me are that this, it's fun interaction, clicking on things, but it is absolutely connected to what's being taught. There's not it's not a multiple choice question being thrown up, would you go left or right, you know, or what's your decision point in that way that we think. He's you know, the you're tying the interaction right into the actual illustration of what's actually happening. So Quetzalcoatl is tying in, throwing in that it actually plays very well on tablets. So that's cool.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've got a few more minutes here. Let's just run through. I'm going to press play and I'll run the audio again.
Okay.
Dog connected to pain. Anyway, if that's how we learn, here's how we unlearn. Anti-Hebbian learning. Another rule of thumb neuroscientists have. So, if you already have a connection from one neuron to another, and you fire the first neuron without firing the second neuron, the connection weakens. Again, try it out. That neuron didn't have any connection. You need to find one that's connected. Ah, so that neuron only has connections going to it, but not from it. You need to find one that has connections from it. Now wait for it, and look, the connection's weaker. Do that again, and this time the connection will be totally killed. And this unlearning rule is why if you have a fear of dogs, and you're exposed to friendly dogs over and over again, you might unlearn that fear. Dog neuron gets fired without the pain neuron getting fired, and therefore the connection weakens. So now that you know how we learn and unlearn, let's revisit this. I want you to retrain this brain. Rewire, reconnect each of these three things from feeling fear to feeling safe.
Wow.
One down, two more to go. I still don't like holes.
I'm not sure at this point what I'm supposed to do to complete this task.
You haven't unlearned well enough.
So anyway, it's there's a fair bit to it. There's the tone of voice I find really helpful because it's personal, it's encouraging, it's not sort of stuffy. Which yeah. I guess you know if you've got neurons with smiley faces and neurons with sad faces, there's kind of a cartoony thing too.
I didn't recognize the smiley faces and the sad faces. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. For those.
It's just not coming through well on my on the screen.
I guess that's a size thing. We could have solved that maybe differently if I'd focused on the browser and not the screen.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're approaching the end of our time together here today, gang. Anybody got some summary thoughts or anything that you're thinking about? These are all, so the first one was pretty much pure what we would think of interactive video, but the other two are mixed media. This one, maybe technically it might even be considered more of a game, but it is coming at us with this video kind of idea, so.
Well, I think from an instructional design perspective too, I think this is an extremely good example of what everybody talks about all the time, and which is, interactivity that is actually valuable and useful to the learning, not just superfluous sort of, clicking for no reason. And it's not, he tells the whole story first and then there's some interaction and then, and a quiz at the end or whatever. The narration and the story involves you, the viewer, throughout the whole entire thing very immediately and really, keeps you connected. And I think there's a lot of different things that can be analyzed and broken down out of this as being very, very well done.
Yeah, well, Katsukoto has added a comment. Fascinating how they're letting you figure it out. Even the tone of the music and narration lends to wanting you to figure it out on your own. Yeah, so it's not just feeling like you're being sort of shoved down a path. I did some dumb things there, so there's definitely, feedback that when I'm doing something wrong to sort of guide me back into doing the right kind of thing too. But they're totally letting you make mistakes in it as well.
Yeah.
It feels kind of like something where you don't even mind lingering to, I'll click a few more of those and see what happens. So.
Yeah, it definitely sucks you in a little bit more because it's always asking you to do something. It's a very, very brief amount of time that you're not needing to do something when they're doing an explanation. And I think that's critical, especially for really complex sort of scientific ideas. You just got to give people just a little bit at a time and ease them into it. I'd like to ask the chat, has anybody in the chat worked on any interactive video projects? And we are at the end of our time. We like to end Idiotic a little bit earlier than an hour so everybody can prep for their next meetings. But, this is something you can share with us later if you'd like. If you've got good examples, if you want to drop them into the chat now, if somebody's got a really good one, that would be great. But otherwise, I'd love to hear what other people are doing with interactive video. I think it's an incredibly valuable way for us to educate people on so many different topics. Ed says he's tested it.
I mean, it's not appropriate for everything. And there's lots of angles. There's budget. I mean, the last two are pretty, I'm going to say there's some budget involved in those two samples.
Really?
The first one fits more of a model, I think, of something relatively simple or achievable in multiple different ways that might not require huge budgets. But yeah, Quetzalcoatl is pointing at it. We can have lots of ideas, but we're often limited on the technology available to us.
Right.
Jim's mentioning an interactive video program or platform, KZO Innovations. Well, go take a look at what they're doing. Yeah, kind of cool.
Yep. Did it for an assessment. Wheel of Fortune. All right.
Yeah, Ed saying he used interactive video for an assessment, but as kind of a Wheel of Fortune kind of approach to something. So cool. Yeah. Anyway, those were some of the things we wanted to share. The I think Dr. Paul's session last week had 150-ish odd people in the room, and yeah, no, that's true. The counting was odd. They were all perfectly normal. There was no oddness about it. Oh, wait a minute. They work in our space. We're all a little bit odd.
We're all a little bit odd.
I think that's our charm. I think that's our strength.
Indeed. Yeah. It was a full house. I remember seeing the images from it when he took some shots of the room, shared them up on Instagram. And we had a lot of people stop by our booth afterwards and talk to us about it as well and wanting to see some stuff. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Neato. Yeah.
Well, that's
all right.
That's our cue.
I'm hearing the music. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you again next week.
I hope you guys all had a good time. Please let us know if you're doing any interactive video. I'd love to see more examples. This is always kind of fun, and I don't think I do enough of this kind of research these days. So let us know what you're up to.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, folks. Adios.